Craig, chill wow, Harry. Offline, bro.
Craig was on a blunt break. He had to make his way in.
Smoking wow. those Bozo packs.
Wow, but Craig.
Hey, we're here. It's the draft. The draft's going on live. Right as we speak.
Right as it happened. Jalen Hyatt to the Giants.
That's breaking news by the time this podcast comes out. That's awesome. Give me this Jalen Hyatt.
Good for him, dude.
Ooh, 4.4 40. Not bad.
He was running like what, 26 miles an hour?
Yeah, he had the fastest like microchip time, like on field time in the whole Hunger Games. Yeah.
Thank God we got fucking the vaccine, dude, because now we can track all the NFL players without even having to do it 40 times.
All right, so this is episode 79.5. This is a special episode. We're not going to do any guys from history. This is just a draft episode. We are, a few picks in? We're a few picks into round three.
Yeah, we're in the third round, pick 73.
Yeah, and so we're going to give a little bit of feedback, reactions. We're going to talk dynasty implications because next week, Shane and I are hopping in, and we're doing the TH Fantasy Draft Guide. We're going to start putting it together, put the final touches on, and we'll charge $10. And if you give us $10, we'll donate it to like the Trevor Project or some other program for trans youth. And it'll be fucking sick. So today's this is the weekend where the rest of the data gets filled out, right?
Yes, sir. I'm filling my big board as we speak.
So let's start at the top. No one was surprised by Bryce Young to Carolina.
Thank you, Vegas.
Super flex. Where's Bryce Young go? Is he 102? Is he 103? Is he 104?
In super flex?
Yes, sir.
I would say one.
You taking him over Bijan?
In super flex? And where I'm starting two quarterbacks? I think yes, sir. Yeah.
That's you insane.
You taking him over Bijan? So you're taking over Bijan? You taking him over Anthony Richardson?
I think I'm taking him over everyone. Yeah, just one overall. I'd probably go Bijan too.
Okay,
but
damn, that's a flag plant, and I'm here for it.
Shane, what about you? Where's Bryce Young going for you?
103 for me.
Okay. He is 103 for me as well.
Have I converted you to the true sicko grouping after all these fucking months of propaganda?
Actually, We'll talk because I have a great reveal I'm gonna make here in a little bit. CJ Stroud 102 to Houston. Ryan, is CJ Stroud your quarterback two, or is Anthony Richardson, who went 104 to Indianapolis, your quarterback two?
Kind of like Indy better. There's more weapons and people develop chemistry with, and it seems like they care a little bit more about winning than Houston.
Okay, so
I traded what, fucking five picks to get 103 for a defensive lineman?
Yeah.
Right.
It was pretty baller, though, to get the second and the third pick.
They bet on themselves, man. They gave up their own first. That's a lot of faith in their organization to not be worse than Cleveland.
You know what it says? You know what it says to me, though? The front office wanted Stroud, and the coaching staff wanted Will Anderson, right? Yeah. Like D'Amico Ryans being the new head coach is like, he's going to prioritize defense. So I think this is their way of being like, hey, we're sticking with you, man. I know that we change coaches more often than most people change socks, but like, we're sticking with you. We want you to get your guy. So we got our quarterback, our captain of the offense, and we got our captain of the defense.
I also think it's a business decision, right? Because like, you can't have such a shitty quarterback for 3 years in a row. You can't be the bottom of the barrel NFL. Like, you got to put some juice in your franchise, because at the end of the day, like, you got to sell tickets. And if you're just trotting shit out there every week, no one's going to care. So like, if you get some highlight plays once a week, like, I get it, right? I'm not excited for fantasy wise. Stroud is my 104. I could maybe be talked into 105 depending on my team structure. That's a little bit of a crazy take, but it kind of, them not drafting a wide receiver kind of poo-pooed my Stroud above Young plan.
Can I just say, this is why we bring on and why Shane's a part of this show now, is because like, Now we can say our show officially has been saying Anthony Richardson 101 in Superflex rookie drafts since like late February, early March.
Except for me. Sorry.
Right.
Hey, man. But you just need one sicko. You just need one sicko. That's all you need.
And I'm seeing it more and more, really, is what I'm saying. Is in the last day I've seen a lot of like Richardson is the dynasty 101 no matter what. But then let's talk 108. Because now we've got our block, right? Our first block of guys.
This was a point of hesitation, right? Because I was so torqued for Anthony Richardson at 4 to Indy. At like, I know I should talk to them in the beginning, but like, this is the optimal position for him to succeed. Good O-line, good weapons, good coaching, and a position to succeed. He probably doesn't start till like game 4 or 5 after Minshew chokes a couple games and the crowd gets restless for their new guy.
Yeah.
But Bijan in Atlanta, to me, is the best landing spot. And okay, I had some pause of like, okay, what do I do here, right? Like, we've talked about before of what do you do with 101? Either your team's dog shit and it doesn't matter, so take the guy who you think can break the format and can get the most value for you in the long run in the format that requires the hardest position of quarterback, or you take the guy who you know is going to get 20 touches a game in an offense that's going to run through him, and they're going to run the ball, what, 400 times a year with him?
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about that pick was, you know, now I feel really bad for Algier, you know, who had over 1,000 yards last year and is probably gonna not even get close to that now.
I think it hurts CPAT more than Algier. I think as much as I want as many touches for Bijan, I think they're gonna have to conserve him and keep him on a snap, not a snap That's... count, but like a handoff count of like cap him at 18 to 22 handoffs a year just to preserve him.
The only positive I liked about Atlanta is they did run the ball more times than any other team last year. So it could be a potential for 2,000 yard rushers, maybe. I don't know.
I just don't understand why Atlanta would use the 8th overall pick to draft a backup for Tyler Algier. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real with you. Like my first five, my big board as of right now is kind of, it's a take. Richardson's 101, and then I'm going Stroud 102, and then I'm going Bryce 103, and then I'm going Bijan 104.
Wow.
It doesn't matter to me, man. It doesn't matter. The cap is there. The draft cap is there. These teams are all going to be building around these guys. I'll take them. I think we've got at least two quarterback twos here and one potential quarterback one, if not two quarterback ones and one quarterback two. I'll take them.
I mean, it seems wild on paper, right? Like people would fucking crucify you on Twitter. You get ratioed so fast. But if you look in the spectrum of dynasty of how long this game is, and if you know your league settings, the amount of return you're going to see on these quarterbacks is going to be more or less likely than Bijan. You know what I mean? Right. If you have 101, unless you can trade them, but we're seeing a narrative here that teams are not trading for elite tier running backs anymore because they're so expensive, and the payoff for them is either you win the championship or it fucks your team for 3 years. So
right.
Getting sure you're losing value in the beginning, but like this is the cheapest you can get a quarterback, a starting quarterback at least. Yeah. So unless you roll out and you're okay with spending a late first on a Jimmy G 9 years into his career and you gamble it or like a Kirk Cousins, this is kind of the only time to get a quarterback. Like, yeah, you might be losing value in the short run, but like, if you look at all these picks going down the line, like how many guys have like lost value, like Rashad Bateman, right, for an example. Like I know we were talking shit in DMs about this. Like I'm tired of hearing the discourse, but like what is Bateman worth anymore? A second?
High second tops.
And when do you play him? Never.
Never.
Right. So it's like, you might as well take the swing. So it's like, it is a take, but if you're getting solid floor where I think Bryce has the ability to be a game breaker, where Stroud has the safer floor, in my opinion, even though I think he's a better overall career structure, even though he's on the Texans and we see what they got to do. I think that is a take that in 3 years looks more rational than we talked about Bijan for fucking 6 years, right?
Sure. All right, hang on. I'll be right back. All right. Do whatever you got to do. Hang on.
Okay. Patriots just took a linebacker.
Dude, Bill Belichick is a wild man. He just sees his guy, doesn't like his guy. You know what? I'm out.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how many running backs they take in this draft.
It's got to be two, right?
Yeah, at least. Because I was hearing earlier, I guess James Robinson's contract is like an incentivized deal.
Is it to really? Where,
yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if Belichick goes out there and runs three running backs the whole time, keep those incentives down.
Oh, he is a Patriot. When did they sign to the Patriots? I thought he was still a Jet.
No, he went to the Pats.
March 17th, 2 years, $8 million. That's crazy.
Now the picks are going fast.
As they should. Fucking after pick round one, no one really cares except for us.
That's true. Another defensive end.
We had somebody in FAS today. They're like, is anybody interested in going in round two? I was like, yeah, this is like when you need to pay attention.
Have the Chargers done anything since that Quentin Johnson?
Yeah, we took a D lineman, which I think he's a linebacker, the dude from USC. I'm not going to attempt to say his name.
Oh. It's one of those like Hawaiian names?
Yeah.
Packers have had solid draft so far.
It's amazing what happens when you purge Aaron Rodgers from your team.
Right.
I mean, it's nice to see them like put their faith in Love, but also like it sucks. They're kind of just like, hey, we're just going to give you what we give you. You've been
right.
You've had no choice in the last 3 years, so you're kind of used to it.
Oh, they got the guy who invented the Lambeau Leap announcing this pick. They got to be going line.
Yeah.
What? They took another tight end? They took Tucker Kraft?
Oh my God, dude. That was that mock that we saw. They had Darnell Washington and Tucker Kraft.
That's crazy. They took another tight end.
I kind of like it.
They know that Love's only going to be able to throw 5 yards.
Yep. I mean, they play different styles, right? Tucker Kraft is like more of a short round possession guy where Musgrave plays like the slot type.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Big boy time.
That's crazy.
This is your dream, man. You can have two Packers on your team.
I still won't do it.
Amen. I respect it. Live by your code.
I try not to have Packers unless they're really good. I've never drafted Rodgers.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I got to break the code, though. I got to get Musgrave in at least one league. So I know I'm a Bears fan by proxy. But
yeah, I'll probably end up with him in Dynasty somewhere.
He'll be cheap.
Yeah. And the Colts got... They took Josh Downs. Ooh.
I like that. So Amon-Ra's the X, then.
Now Indy's looking a little better. Going to have a lot of young wide receivers.
Because Pittman's on a contract here next year, right?
No, it was... What was his...
He was 2020?
Yeah, then it's got to be.
Yep, 2020. Number... was he second or first round? Second round. Yep. Last year, the deal.
Josh Downs.
Here comes Pittsburgh's pick, too. Who's left as wide receiver?
I didn't realize that Josh Downs was still out there.
Yeah, I'm surprised he fell this far. We were talking about that earlier, how Mims went above him, Rashee Rice went above him.
Wait, where did Mims go?
He went to Denver.
Denver, okay.
I don't hate it. Like, I'll buy the dip because I think people are going to be stinky on Denver and Russ, though, and, like, that wide receiver room is so convoluted. Yeah,
I do have a feeling that Russ is going to come back a little bit this year.
He won't be as bad as last year.
No.
I don't think there's a world where that happens unless he's hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have They have Tim Patrick, KJ Osborne, or not, sorry, they have KJ Hamler, Cortland Sutton, and Jerry Jeudy, and now Marvin Mims. So I think Sutton gets traded or walks, and then Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, or whatever.
Is that Tennessee just traded their pick to Carolina?
I don't know.
Tennessee's next. Carolina trading? Kind of shocked that Mayer wasn't the first tight end. I know he was the second, but...
Yeah, I think his Ross really hurt him because he's not like a hyper-athletic guy. Like, he just wasn't like the sexy pick. I think he's the right guy, and I love that pick for Vegas, especially giving up like Darren Waller and all that money.
Yeah, they needed a decent developmental tight end that'll be really good in a year or two. Who knows? He could break out this year too. Because who else do they have? Do they have Foster Moreau?
No, he has Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so
they they don't have anyone really at note at tight end then.
Nope. He's the only guy.
That's crazy.
Woo!
You good?
Josh Downs to Indy.
I just threw up a little bit, but we're good.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
A little bit in your mouth? Hey, well, you know, if
you're in the toilet, mostly.
If you're going to spew into this.
That was Josh Downs to Indy.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going on now. Something's going on with Carolina's traded pick.
Tucker Kraft to Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. Tucker Kraft to Green Bay. They got another tight end.
Tillman to the Browns.
I do have that. When was Tucker? Do you know what pick number?
78.
Okay.
All right, Ryan, bring us back from commercial.
And we're back.
I'm back from throwing up. The gods cursed me for talking shit about Bijan.
He saw Green Bay take Tucker Kraft, and he was like, why are they taking two tight ends?
That's great.
Why are they taking all these pass catchers now that Rodgers is gone?
Okay, so we left at Bijan.
Yes.
So then we had the crazy pick of the night, right? We had Jahmyr Gibbs to Detroit. What do you think, guys?
That was the shock of the night for me. Yeah, sure.
I don't like that pick.
Would it shock you to find out that they said that they had multiple teams saying that he wouldn't be there at pick 18?
Really?
No, I saw that, and that doesn't surprise me because, like, even though fantasy is starting to devalue running backs, teams understand, like, if this is our window and this is our luxury pick, let it ride. You know what I mean? And, like, clearly Swift didn't fit that team anymore.
Well, the problem with Swift is he's never been a... What was that first year? He was the... Like the bell, they used him as like a bell cow, and he just ended up getting hurt. He can't play a whole season.
Well, I was reading on our Forbidden Place of Reddit that like the Lions subreddit is just like he doesn't like contact, and like he just will avoid getting hit at all costs. Or I'm like, you know what? As a human being, I respect it, dude. Like, preserve your body. But as an NFL player, like, you're gonna piss off your coaching staff if you do that.
Yes. Yeah.
True.
So. Do you guys, where do you put Gibbs? Do you put Gibbs 106, 107?
I have Gibbs at 105 right now, just based on draft capital and situation. Because if you take the Swift numbers and you translate them to Gibbs, they're sexy, man. 70 targets a year with like 100 handoffs, 150 handoffs. Like, I don't think you can ask more from Gibbs in that situation where... JSN, even though like he is like the guy, the fact that he was kind of passed down the line, and like you said, if people weren't going to take Gibbs lower than 18, I think the writing's kind of on the wall of like the history of top 12 running backs performing at a high level.
Sure. So then let's talk, guys. Let's talk about this run on wide receivers that happened. We have four straight picks: Jaxon Smith-Njigba to Seattle, Quentin Johnson to the Chargers, Zay Flowers to the Ravens, and Jordan Addison to the Vikings. Gentlemen, rank those four receivers.
don't know if I'll rank them, but the first one, I didn't like JSN to Seattle.
Okay.
Who was, I don't know if I heard it last night when we were in the FA chat or what, or if I heard it on the radio this morning, but with Lockett and we all know Lockett, this is his last year on his contract.
Right.
And Metcalf there. You look at the numbers that the third wide receiver got in Seattle last year, and it was only like, what, I think 26 or 27 catches. I don't know if it was can't be targets. It's got to be catches.
Sure.
But for a talent like that, I mean, I guess maybe we'll try him out for this year, and when Lockett's gone, he can slip into that second wideout role.
Yeah, that's how QJ is for me too. This year is not their year, right? I think out of all the wide receivers, I think Addison has the best year this year. But career wise, I think we need to be a little bit more patient. Again, this is a dynasty platform of 3 years to see what's up.
Right.
Quentin Johnson is going to replace what, Palmer?
I think Palmer was already dust anyways. I'm very confused. Like, I'll just give you my ranking right now. I have JSN, Addison, QJ, Flowers. That's my tier on those. I don't know how they set up QJ to be successful, but I trust Kellen Moore, and I know we talked about this off air, but QJ's fixable with his body catching. They seem to scheme him into basically keep his mind operating instead of sitting on the route.
Yeah,
he's a bigger wide receiver, so
yeah,
he should be able to learn how to translate all that body catching, yeah.
And as long as he learns his hands from Keenan Allen, I'm good. Like, I had definitely had to be talked down off the ledge from the pick because I was just like, of course we take the big body guy who's Mike Williams 2.0.
Right.
But, like, he's not going to be the alpha in that offense this year. He might not be the alpha next year, but, like, there is a pathway to him to be tied to, like, one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league in a pass-heavy offense. And then,
yeah.
It is cool that he's going to get to learn some skills from Keenan Allen. That's cool.
Yeah. I like the Flowers pick. I think Lamar, who got extended, fucking agent, needs another weapon besides OBJ and Bateman. Flowers was my wide receiver too after this, but I think I don't know who the offensive coordinator is. I had to look it up today, so we're going to see what happens there. But, I mean, they're clearly showing that they want to give Lamar every opportunity to be successful. So I think it's kind of a wait and see. Tony, what's your ranking on these guys?
Well, so I look at all of them, and every single one of these receivers has one thing in common. And that's, as of right now, the way I look, I see it, every single one of these receivers is the third target on their team right now.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I guess I'm looking more just at potential success rates here. I'm seeing, like, I think it's JSN 1, and I think it's Zay Flowers 2. And then I go QJ 3 and Jordan Addison 4.
Okay. I appreciate the diversity.
Yeah, I actually, like, I really think that Addison took a really big step back in his year at USC.
Breaking. Oh, yeah, Tennessee just took Tajay Spears.
That's a great pick. It's a great pick.
But yeah, we talked about that off air because most of his schemes were for bubble passes, right? So a lot of his usage was in that scheme.
But, over, I think, like, almost half his catches came out of wide receiver screens. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, he showed a lot with Kenny Pickett. So he's a mystery bag for me, and I think that's why I bump him down a little bit, even though I think he's good. I also, if we're talking 3 years, how many more years is Kirk Cousins playing in Minnesota?
I don't know, man. I really don't. I was listening to a podcast today about that. Minnesota is stuck in, like, purgatory, right? You can't pay Kirk all this money because he's, like, not great. He's good, right? Kirk is not the issue of why the team loses, but, like, unless you're going to gamble and give up a lot of stuff to get another quarterback, what the fuck do they do?
Right. So I think he's just gonna be stuck in situation for a while. I think his situation deteriorates before, like, I actually think, like you said, Jordan Addison has the best first year here, but if I draft him in Dynasty, and he has that good first year, I'm looking to move him.
Yeah, because where do you take him, right? 107, 108?
Yeah.
And I think you can re-roll that, right? Say he gets like an Amon-Ra type season the first year, where he gets like 100 targets, 5 touchdowns, like 900 yards. Like, you can at least re-roll that next year, put him in a package.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think defenses are going to know how to play against him, because they're going to be focusing still on Justin Jefferson. So like, once they figure out how to scheme against Addison, if he's bad against press or whatever, right, they're going to utilize that defense against him. But I think in the meantime, I think he's going to, it's wheels up temporarily.
Yeah. Ryan, first tight end off the board, Dalton Kincaid to Buffalo.
I was so shocked. So shocked.
They said, yeah, fuck Dallas.
I thought Mayer would go first. I know he went the very next pick to...
No, Mayer went in the second round. Mayer went 11 picks later.
It was... Really?
Yeah. Laporta went before Mayer.
Oh, that's right. Laporta. That's right.
And we also got to point out, by the way, before we move too far away, that Zay Flowers being brought in to Baltimore is, I think, a big part of the reason why Lamar re-signed. 5 years. Let's go. Get your money. King okay, shit. Okay, so, Ryan, it's the end of the first round. You're at like 112, 201, and you're looking at both Dalton Kincaid and Michael Mayer. What do you do? Love that sound. That's before this. That's before fantasy draft starts. Ryan sounds just like, yeah.
Probably going Michael Mayer. Now that I know he's going to the Raiders. But
I think his utilization is better
with Garoppolo now. There's going to be plenty of chances for him. I think a bunch of checkdowns.
Yeah, because that's what we want, right? We want short, and like, yeah, he abused Kittle, like the Raider system abused Waller when he was healthy. Like, even though I think Kincaid fits a better scheme of like slot guy in that frame in Buffalo, like they need a number two, really, like we were talking about 2 weeks ago, is there's only two fantasy producers in that room where now mm-hmm. Kincaid fills that role. I still think Mayer gets a large amount of volume.
I agree. Yeah. I am going to tell you right now, solely based right now, it is April 28th. We are almost done with the third round of the NFL draft. I'm telling you right now, at what I'm perceiving to be cost, I will have no Kincaid shares.
Really? Yeah, because he's way too early for me. I don't want to spend an early second on a tight end. I really don't.
If I spend an early second on a tight end, it'll be Mayer. Yeah, I still wouldn't go earlier than 202 for a tight end, but I would take Mayer over Kincaid too, because yeah, like I said last week, it's a two person fantasy relevant offense. Kincaid will have those games, you know, he'll catch 4 for, you know, 80 and 2 touchdowns, and everyone will be like, he's your waiver wire pickup, and then he'll ghost for 3 straight weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same
with Laporta. Laporta probably has the same type of arc, right?
Yep. Let's before we get to Laporta, let's talk about pick 2 of round 2. Will Levi's to the Tennessee Titans.
Man.
Mr. Levi's?
He needs a new agent right off the rip.
Yeah, no shit. For all of the, you know, and the combine, say what you will, but I watched every fucking second of that degeneracy, and they were cranking Will Levis off for 2 straight days.
Yep.
Poise.
He was a psyop. I'm telling you. Yeah. He was a fucking psyop.
Poise, accuracy. He's got character. He's a gym rat. Look at how much he's worked out. He could hit the crossbar from 50 yards on his knees. Like, what the fuck, man?
I mean, okay. I was shocked that he didn't go in the first round. I remember we were commenting about that yesterday to the Titans. But now that he's with the Titans, I hope he develops some chemistry with Burks.
I hope he does well, honestly. Like, I really do. But at the end of the day, I think even though It could be based on how cheap teams were, but I heard that teams did try to trade up, but nobody was able to. So that
he's gonna have to get work because this is Tannehill's last year. So
yeah,
he's gonna have to perform; otherwise, he's just gonna be a career backup the rest of his career.
Go ahead.
Like we were talking, I don't know if it's off the air or before, but like if the Titans suck ass like we think they are, what's stopping them from drafting a quarterback at 1 or 2 next year? Right.
Right.
Get what you can for Levis. Get out.
Yeah.
Maybe he puts a couple games of okay tape out there. If Caleb or Drake May take that next step and they become like a Trevor Lawrence style prospect, then you and your team sucks and you're in position to draft one of those two guys next year. I say you fucking do it and you trade Will Levis for 2 seconds and carry on with your life.
And what do you really lose at 33, right? Or 34, whatever pick he was. Like, is that really a lot to lose in the spectrum of like the hardest and most important position in football?
Right.
No, like I said, they got a value because we all thought that they were going to take him in the first round and they end up coming right back to him and they got him.
Yep. And they got Skoronski too. I think Tennessee's doing a good job out here tonight. And Tajay Spears, I feel like they're saying like, no, this is our team. This is how we're built. And also, you know who's
holy shit.
Oh yeah. Boy.
Dolphins just took A-Chain.
The pick. That's where everybody wanted him to go. He's a first rounder, for sure.
I'm not taking it.
The Dolphins run game is crap. It's a bunch of no names and he's gonna have a chance to step in right away.
It's a high risk pick. This is great for me because I was not huge on A-Chain. And so this means that other guys that I like more will most likely, you know, fall a little bit later.
Well, yeah, because the twos are getting murky, man. Like, where does Will Levis go in Superflex?
Yeah, Ryan, what do you think? Are you taking, you're at the end of the first, Will Levis or Zach Charbonnet in Superflex?
First of all, I'm saying I'm not trying to get Levis at all in any of my dynasties, so it's definitely going to be Charbonnet.
A full fade. Shane? You know what? I think that's a reasonable take because like we talked about before, Willis has a stink on him and now his stink is even worse. Like say, all right, positional advantage, right? He does develop into something that's worth like a Derek Carr-esque type career. He's all right. But moving him for a first is going to be so difficult where I think like, even though people hated the Charbs pick, if something happens to Kenneth Walker or he outplays Kenneth Walker and he takes that lead position, he's going to be so much easier to move as an asset compared to Will Levis that even fantasy managers, unless they're desperate for a quarterback, are not going to want that guy unless it's for pennies.
Yeah, I'm taking Will Levis and hoping that he's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's more than fair. You know what I mean? Like 112. Like, what do you really lose, right? If the potential is there to hit, and especially with your comp of Carson Wentz, as he has his ups and downs, he could be fucking great. He could be ass. You know what I mean? We don't know, but I think that role is fine.
All right. Right now, guys, gun to your head, super flex for your quarterback 2 on a team that's not very good. Will Levis or Kenny Pickett?
I think it's Kenny Pickett.
I don't know if I can go with small hands.
I think the way that the Steelers have drafted this year of making O-line and
that's a good point.
Their wide receiver room isn't terrible. They have Deontay, they have Pickens, they have Najee, you know what I mean? They have Freiermuth. Like,
yeah,
he's not great, but I feel like I'm starting Mac Jones every week, right? Where like, if I get more than 15 points, I'm fucking torqued, right? Where Levis is definitely the ceiling play in that instance.
Can we also say, though, at the same time, by this time next year, by day 2 of the NFL draft next year, you could probably make a similar argument about Will Levis, right? Because yes, they'll reinvest in the offensive line, like Treylon Burks. And honestly, I'm going to be real with you. This is a take, a little bit of a stale take. It's still a holdover from last year. The return of a healthy Kyle Phillips. All right. All right. Slot God Kyle Phillips. I still believe. But like, I think you can make that argument because I think next year Tennessee goes offensive line early again and then looks at one of those day 2 wide receivers to really round out the crew. You got Henry for probably one more year. Tajay Spears probably going to be mixing in there a little bit more. And then I think Will Levis at the start of his year two will be in a better spot than Kenny Pickett is at the start of his year two as we speak.
Interesting take.
We'll pin that episode 79.5.
Yeah.
79.5. We'll pin it.
Yeah. All right. So we had a bit of a little mini tight end run here. We had Sam Laporta, a shocker, at 232, round two, pick 34 to Detroit. Michael Mayer, round two, pick 35. I'm going to give the floor to the tight end guy here. Ryan, quick initial thoughts on day two tight ends.
I really like Laporta to Detroit. They got to figure out some way to replace Hockenson. And just another pin in the cushion for Detroit this year. Like another on my prediction. With what they're doing in the draft, I really like Detroit going to the Super Bowl this year.
Okay, but remember, we have to stress this, Ryan. They drafted two Iowa Hawkeyes, so you're coming at this from a whole different angle than most people.
Oh, that's good. That means that they know how to block too. Big Ten schools. That's all they do is run. You got to be useful.
That's a football take, not a fantasy take, and I love it.
Okay, so then let me ask you guys a question: would you take any of these rookie tight ends to be your starting tight end in a redraft league, even if it's like the last pick?
If it's the last pick, I would probably take a flyer on just to see what happens.
You completely punted tight end, no tight ends left. Michael Mayer, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta staring you in the face. What is it?
Michael Mayer.
Yeah, it's Michael Mayer. Based on opportunity, because like Ryan and I were talking about off air while you were being smited for your Bijan take. They have no tight end.
Right.
Darren Waller's gone. God bless his soul. Foster Moreau has Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
Like they have his opportunity is there, and his best opportunity.
He's gonna be right away. He's gonna be a part of that offense, I feel.
I think Michael Mayer's the truth. I think Vegas got a great fucking deal on Michael Mayer. Yeah. I think people fell in love with other people's, workout numbers, which I think is just still so fucking preposterous. If you watched Michael Mayer, you saw a dude that clearly knows ball.
Yeah, like we talked about all offseason, it's his Ross. He's not athletic. And that was known going into the draft, is he wasn't the fastest, he wasn't the quickest. But goddamn, does he have hands, and can he utilize his body to block in an efficient manner of chip block, go out for the route, get 10 yards, go down.
And he can also use his body to break tackles yards after the catch, you know?
Did you see that in the draft when they showed like a clip of him and he just like manhandled the DB? He just like picked him up like a child and threw him to the ground. I was like, yo, that's a good highlight reel.
So then we have Jonathan Mingo, who I have nothing on.
We were sleeping. I know people were hyping him up the last 2 weeks, but we got to get back in the lab. Top 40 pick.
He's a very late riser. He could be this year's Tyquan Thornton. but like, he looks really good on tape. Like the highlights that I saw, which doesn't tell the whole story, obviously. We talked a little bit about this before we hit record, but like the helmet scouting on this man is ridiculous. Oh, he looks like DK Metcalf. Oh, he looks like AJ Brown. Like, yeah, but they all played at Ole Miss. So you see a tall guy that looks like that and wins jump balls. And since they played at the same college, they're the same type of dude.
The thing too is this class is also smaller guys, right? So you hit a guy who's over 6'1", 220, he stands out in the crowd, right? Like so it's like, it's a weird perception of, is he really that good? Or is he just good given the context of who his competitors are?
Correct. We have two Green Bay skill position players back to back. Luke Musgrave, our mystery box, and Jaden fucking Reed, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta go to the lab on Jaden Reed. I know that guide said Shane doesn't watch Michigan players, but I gotta watch him, because I know that was someone you were talking about for a long time, and him and Mingo are dudes I have to spend some time on.
I like Jaden Reed a lot. Jaden Reed reminds me a lot of Steve Smith. I see that same type of, like, he might not be beating you deep, but he's got good change of pace. He's hard to bring down, and he's got a little Marvin Mims. He's got a little dog. Like I think you're going to like Jaden Reed a lot, and I think he instantly steps in, and he's going to be used all over the field, but I think you're going to see him end up getting more looks than Romeo Doubs next year.
Yeah, because what is that wide receiver room now, or that receiving room now? It's Christian Watson, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Doubs. What's this? They drafted another one.
They drafted. Yeah, they drafted Tucker Kraft.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft. Yeah.
So I think Doubs is dead, dude. I really do.
You know, we joked about this last night, but like the Packers drafting all receivers after Aaron Rodgers left, and the Jets not drafting any receivers now that Aaron Rodgers is there. That tells me it's Aaron Rodgers. He's the one. And was it you, yeah, Shane, that said like he tells the front office that I'm good?
Yeah, and that he thinks he can fucking make it with dog shit, where it's like, I appreciate that. I know you guys are Bears fans, and like I feel guilty for having to watch Packers games because I want to watch Luke Musgrave succeed, but like they're pushing all their chips in Jordan Love. Yeah, he sat on the bench for 3 years, but here's his opportunity and what they're going to see. Like, okay, we're giving you every skill, every guy who can play a different type of role in this offense with a really good backfield too. If you don't do this, you're not our guy. That it's just plain and simple. This is his year, and this is the only chance that he has.
Right. I mean, look at Garoppolo. He was Brady's understudy for like 3 years before everyone was like, oh, maybe we should make him a starting quarterback. So we'll see. But like you said, Shane, Love's going to have to do some really good stuff this year in order for the Packers to not draft a quarterback next year.
What is their expectation for the Packers? Are they expecting to make the playoffs this year?
I don't think so. I think they're looking to make the playoffs in 2024.
Not with Detroit and Minnesota.
So it's basically just don't shit the bed. That's basically it. Don't make it close, but don't make us look bad.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like the last year Rodgers was there, they had a win now roster. They just didn't win. And we see another, by the way, Tank Midsby goes to Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. To the Jags.
Ugh, that's stinky.
Well, it makes sense because they've kept insisting that James Hasty or Jermichael Hasty was like a thing last year.
But he wasn't.
No.
But they let him go, so I think they're going to bring Tank in to spell ETN. Maybe I'm just biased because I'm a big ETN guy, but
I like ETN too. I agree with that sentiment.
I'm not as worried about Bigsby. I still think he's a change of pace back. But while we're talking surprise day two running back picks in already established young backfields, let's talk Zach Charbonnet to Seattle, pick 52. Ryan is...
Yeah, that was another shocker for me, especially because I knew, you know, the Bears were going to go line for the first like four picks, but the fact that he was taken right before the Bears pick just pissed me off because I had a glimmer of hope that the Bears might take him. But this is another scenario like the Atlanta situation where, you know, you had Kenneth Walker last year. Yeah, he got hurt towards the end of the year, but another two-headed sword. I don't like... What's going to happen with Walker now? He was so good last year, and now you got this guy in there, and we'll see. We'll see.
I think it's going to be the similar situation with Detroit. They don't play the same type of roles, right? It's not a Swift, Jamal Williams style. It's not a Jones, A.J. Dillon scenario, but I like it. I will buy the dip. If Charbs hits 202, I'm ecstatic, right? Like, he's second round capital. And it also shows that Pete still wants to pound the rock. It has me a little...
That's true.
It has me a little apprehensive about...
They have to, because they're still rolling with Geno Smith. I mean, I'm really surprised that Seattle didn't take one of the, you know...
And like you said, I think it really shows that Seattle realizes they lost those last games because Geno was not in his form that he was in the beginning of the season. And I think this is a vote of disconfidence.
Well,
of,
Geno became who he always was. He just, you know, we caught him at his career best, you know, at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, get paid, big dog. It does have me nervous, though, about that receiving corps. Like, they just spent high-end draft capital for JSN. So it's like, well, now what is the direction of this offense now, right?
Well, I think that what ends up happening is they get stuck in purgatory, right? Because Geno goes. They don't have a backup plan in place. I would think, you know, if I'm Seattle and I'm looking right now at picks that I have coming up, Dorian Thompson-Robertson, man.
Yeah,
that's a quarterback that, like, you got to start looking for the future. You caught fucking lightning in a bottle. Geno Smith was supposed to be your tank commander, and you lucked out. And then I honestly hate to say it, but I think this draft, I think they got cute in the first round.
They didn't need corner, right?
Right. They drafted a position of strength, and I get it. Now they have, like, arguably the best defensive backfield in the NFL. They have holes, right? So, like, you guys remember Josh Jacobs running for like 280 yards against them last year?
Yeah.
Like, Seattle, you remember the playoff game? They lost because they couldn't stop any of the running from San Francisco.
It's hard to stop runners in a Shanahan offense, but
they couldn't stop anyone.
Who do they trade up into? They have to trade with Houston, right? Or they have to trade with Arizona. Like, those are the two spots where they could have, because they couldn't go to get one. I don't think Houston, like you said earlier, I think Houston had their corporation pick of Stroud, and then, like, were they in competition to go at three? Because three was the only spot that Indy wouldn't give up their pick. You know they wouldn't.
Right. Yeah, Indianapolis having a very having good sense today in the draft this weekend.
Your draft so far,
uncharacteristic. So let's talk 55th pick, second round, Rashee Rice to Kansas City. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a good compliment to Sky Moore project, but
I think it's Sky Moore part two.
Yeah, I don't care. That's my take. I don't care. Rashee Rice was so, like, whatever to me. Like, he was in, like, the Josh Downs tier of, like, I get it, but also
he's small, and you got to remember too that, like, Tyreek Hill didn't really have a good rookie year. It wasn't until, like, his second year he broke out.
But his 40 like 4.3? I don't think I think they play different styles where he's kind of just, I think, didn't we comp him to, like, Jacoby Myers, Tony?
Yes, and I think Rashee Rice is actually probably just their slot guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted Downs there, but I think Rice ends up playing a lot of what, like, Juju did last year.
I like Downs going to Indy, though.
Don't spoil it. Ryan, which Dallas tight end gets the most targets next year? Is it Peyton Hendershot? Is it Jake Ferguson? Or is it pick 58 in the second round, Luke Schoonmaker?
That was an interesting pick. I knew Dallas was going to try and get a tight end. Honestly, I feel like Hendershot emerges as the number one next year.
Oh.
I mean, Luke Schoonmaker is also 3 years older than Kyle Pitts, so.
That's crazy.
He's old, right? He's going to be 25 during the season, I think.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hunter won his fucking pizza bet. Dallas did not draft a running back in the first three rounds.
We said it, dude. We fucking said it. No, we said it. They're
so sharp now.
They're waiting. They can get Izzy in round four.
Or Roshan.
Yeah.
How about another guy that's fallen? We've seen all these tight ends go off the bed. What is going on with Darnell Washington? I keep hearing, his knees aren't good. His medical's not. He's going to fall. Is he even going to get drafted now?
I mean, that's what sucks about being that big, right? It's like you see with the NBA, like, these guys that are such massive anomalies have really short shelf lives because being that big takes a really hard toll on your body.
Well, I'm going to just say right now, Cowboys just made their pick at 90, I'm feeling Darnell Washington to Cincinnati at 92. So put a pin in that. Put a pin in that shit.
I like it. Cincinnati needs a tight end.
Yep. You know who else needed a tight end? Apparently, was Jacksonville, and they went Brenton Strange from Penn State. What the fuck?
I am so. When I heard that on the radio on the way home from work, I was very perplexed. He was
getting weird hype before. I know, like, the Chargers were being tagged to him in the second. Like, we never scouted him, or at least I didn't.
I mean, I get it. Penn State's put out some good tight ends. Freiermuth. What was the other guy I was thinking that was within the last couple of years?
Clearly, it's not memorable.
Yeah, I guess not.
Brenton Strange was Dane Brugler's tight end 8, rated 86th overall.
Wow.
He was projected at, according to the Beast, he was projected at pick 97. Averaged 2.3 catches and 24.4 yards per start in his college career.
Icky.
Yeah.
They're saying he is an H-back project type player. So the guy's going to go in and out. He's going to be fullback. He's going to be on the line. He's looking like you're going to put, you know, Evan Engram out wide or move him, and you're going to keep Strange either in the – or Strange. You're going to keep, yeah, Strange either in the backfield or inside blocking. So I don't think there's any fantasy value here, Brenton Strange.
Goose egg.
But let's talk – Shane, I'm going to give you the floor for pick 63 here.
Marvin fucking Mims. I'm excited. That's your guy. That is my guy. And I saw him flying up ADP today, and I was getting sad. I was like, man, I got to start trading guys away to get my guy. But I think the last year's stink of Russ eating shit and then the convoluted mess that the wide receiver room is in Denver is going to make people fade him, even though he's a second round pick, because that room has Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, Albert O, who I really don't care about, Greg Dulcich, and now Marvin Mims. And he's smaller, so I think people are going to fade him. So I'm praying every day I wake up until my fantasy drafts that he is there at 211, 301, because I will not hesitate ever. I have a couple trades out there right now for mid seconds, 204 to 207 for Bateman to get Mims, because I love my guy. We'll see.
There it is. That's hot. Ryan, Rashad Bateman or Marvin Mims?
I like Mims. I was talking to Shane when you were having your little accident.
Yeah.
I'm a brain poison Russell, to you guys.
Russell's gonna have a comeback year.
He's gonna get his shit together.
He'll get better. He's gonna throw for 4,000 yards, maybe 25, 30 touchdowns, I think.
I mean, that's the purpose of us doing this exercise, right? Is like we're building our platform and we're building our flag to plant in these guys where pre-draft, post-draft. Some people don't really matter. Yes, as long as they don't tank down to like the fifth round, right? But if they go within a threshold, it doesn't really matter where they go. And if people are willing to fade based on situation, we know that talent supersedes situation. So
that's Charbonnet. That's Zach Charbonnet, right? Talent over situation. Tell me if you're a person, and Ryan used to be this way. I don't think he is as much. If you're a person in fantasy that likes to handcuff running backs, Zach Charbonnet is immediately the number one handcuff in all of fantasy football.
Yeah, sure.
I think handcuffing is the most archaic shit. I've only been playing this game for 2 years now, but like, it seems so archaic.
Yeah, you know how you... So like, if you're in a league where you have either a fab budget or you have rolling waivers that like, if you don't make a claim 1 week, you're moved up for the next week.
Yeah.
If you are in one of those leagues, handcuffing is pointless because you just don't do that stupid thing where you have to churn constantly, right?
Well, it all depends on how many bench spots you have in redraft too.
Sure. But like, I would rather like save my fab for like, so Kenneth Walker goes down in week 9, and Shea Charbonnet is still out there, and you have $97 left in your fab budget, like that's when you push in, right?
Or it's like Breece Hall, right? Breece Hall tears his ACL. You have to panic now, right? Like your running back one went down. I honestly think this was the first question I ever asked on this podcast. When I first came on, what do you guys think about handcuffs?
About handcuffs?
Yeah, I think that was the first question I ever asked.
Yeah, I don't do it. I don't do it. I know Ryan has.
I only do it in leagues where we have like a heavy bench.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know, if I've got eight person bench, of course I'm going to take a flyer on a and just stash them there, and unless I want to get rid of them for free agent pickup during the season. But right. If I've only got like Sean's league where it's like we have what, four bench spots or not even?
We have five bench spots, and yeah. we start 11 spots.
I'm not going to handcuff in that league.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not actively drafting those guys, right? Like I will not go Aaron Jones round 4 and then AJ Dillon round 7, right?
Correct.
Like, if they're there, they're there. Or if they're on the fab, I'll take them. But I'm not going to like reach for a handcuff. I think that's just bad process to be like, I want the security blanket.
It's right.
Like, no, I'm good.
So then we have Hendon Hooker to Detroit, round 3, pick 68. I love it. I love it. What about you? Anybody?
I mean, it was the last talented quarterback left, and they need to develop someone because obviously, what's his name? God damn it.
Goff.
Goff's not going to be there, you know, very much longer. So they have to figure something. I think it's the same situation in like Tennessee. If he doesn't turn out to be anything, they can just draft, like try and get someone else in next year's draft. Yeah.
Then let me ask you guys a question. Who takes the first snap of the 2024 NFL season for the Detroit Lions? What quarterback?
Goff.
It's Goff.
Okay. Good to know. So then
you want to do gentleman's bet?
No, I don't actually. I I don't think that. No, that's even worse. Hey, do you want to lose $10? No. Hey, do you want to take me out for breakfast? No, because I'm going to lose that bet. Like I'm not betting on Hendon Hooker to start a game like as the quarterback. If he's their number one quarterback at the start of a season, it'll be 2025. And he'll be 27 years old. He'll be Chris Wanky levels of old.
And right now, Detroit's got such a good chance to be a playoff team that they're going to roll with experience. They're not going to take any chances.
You don't spend 12 on running back without believing you can win. Like that's same with Atlanta. Like they believe they can win. They really do.
Yeah.
As dumb as they are, they believe that they can win.
I mean, that division is theirs to lose, you could argue.
Yeah.
It, you know, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans. It's between New Orleans and Atlanta, if you ask me.
You don't think Carolina's up there?
I sure hope not. Shane was really hype about this pick. Tank Dell to Houston at pick 69.
Listen, I slandered the short king. You know what? Fuck it. Take him in the third round. Who cares? He's 5'8", 160. Whatever, dude. What's Houston? Who does Houston have as weapons?
Well, so then Mingo went to Carolina, but they have Nico Collins, they have John Metchie, they have Robert Woods, they have Dalton Schultz. They have a whole lot of whatever. So I think Tank Dell instantly is their other boundary receiver, and you have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and John Metchie over the middle with Dalton Schultz. And I got to tell you, you know what Houston hasn't drafted, and that's a running back. So it looks to me, it looks like it's Damian Pierce season for at least another year.
Yeah, I like that. He put on a good show last year.
And with Houston having a decent offensive line, like I could see a world where they finish second in their division. I don't think. I mean,
over Indy.
Yeah. I don't think because
Jacksonville's going to win the division.
If you're telling me, and you might not be, this is more Shane's, but I'm going to say the Royal U. If you're telling me that you're willing to wait a year and see if Anthony Richardson is good. I think you also have to accept the fact that there's a good chance he comes in, like Shane said, after week four or week five, and just looks like shit for most of his rookie year. Because remember, Jalen Hurts looked like shit for most of his rookie year.
True.
And
there's a lot to learn. I think Indy wins six games. That's my prediction. I don't think they have a very hard schedule. They'll win some close ones, but I don't think, like you said, even though they have a good team, I don't think you can expect. It's a fool's game to expect Anthony Richardson to be Jalen Hurts in year three or Cam Newton in year two. You know what I mean? Cam broke out. I think that's a stupid exercise where it's a wait and bake kind of situation. Where if he starts, that's a wild thing to do.
You've got three rookie quarterbacks in that division, right? So you got Richardson, Levis, and then you've got
That's true.
And you got Stroud. And I believe
Oh shit. Look who Pittsburgh just took.
You're a second or two ahead of me. Oh, there it is.
R.I.P. Friermuth.
Oh damn, the Muth. I love this pick.
I like the combination. Washington and Muth. Oh my god, this is gonna be kind of sexy to watch.
Hey, Kenny Pickett claims looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And can I also just say that I called him to go at that pick slot, but not to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Like
small hands mean small passes. So I like the tight ends in
Pittsburgh. Well, if you think about it, man, like Pittsburgh went tackle, right? They went tackle and so this is them drafting another tackle.
Yep.
True.
Who can stand 8 feet tall with his arms up?
I'm starting to think that there's some buy low windows going on right now for Najee Harris. Be real with you.
I could see it. Or Jalen Warren.
Jalen Warren. Jalen Warren's a lot of people. Everyone that has Jalen Warren right now knows what they have with Jalen.
They will not give him up.
Yeah, it sucks. All right. So another pick that I think got good responses from the TH Fantasy Brain Trust was Kendre Miller to New Orleans.
I love it, dude. I really do. I'm not like super high on Kendre. I think he's like my RB 5 or 6 because he's like the LaCroix of RB experience of like, he can do everything well, but it's like the essence of nothing flashes. But I think even though Jamal Williams is there, I don't think we see Alvin Kamara play a majority of the snaps this year if he's on that team still. And I think he fills a really nice complementary piece to that offense.
Yeah, I like it. He's a newcomer. I mean, Kamara's on the downturn of his career.
Do you think that this... So when we did our mock with Hunter, we had, you know, that mock draft that had... Was it Tank Bigsby going to Cincinnati?
Yeah, that was round two, I believe.
Yeah, and so we're looking at, you know, Kendre Miller in round three going to New Orleans. I think this is just like a slightly less version of the same type of deal, right? Like, this is going to be an offense that's gonna move the ball. There's uncertainty at the position with a lead back spot to be claimed. And I don't, you know... Jamal Williams isn't going to be around for much longer. Alvin Kamara might not be a free man for much longer. Like, this could just be Kendre Miller's backfield next year or even late this year.
Yep.
You guys, like, Jamal Williams was never a lead back for a reason.
He was only so big in fantasy last year because he was so cheap. He was like a fantasy league winner because he was taken around, like, what, round 10?
And later than that, yeah.
And his touchdown positive regression was through the fucking roof, right? Like, Swift got him to the 1 yard time.
They never depended on Swift at the goal line. If it was within 5 yards, Williams got the ball every time.
He just fell forward. And that's how he got all his points.
Right.
Right. I think I don't mind Kendre Miller in the early second.
Nope, I don't either.
And so let's go with a couple of Tennessee volunteer receivers that went back to back. Jalen Hyatt to the Giants at pick 73 and Cedric Tillman to Cleveland at pick 74. Well, actually, you know what? Real quick, I just made an offer to Waleed earlier in a dynasty league where I offered, here, let me pull it up. Brock Purdy for Elijah Moore and pick 201. I think I'm just going to go ahead and take that Purdy trade right now.
Yeah, because like, even though the hype is around Purdy, he's not going to be fully healthy. And what's his ceiling, right? Jimmy G?
At best, yeah.
15 points a game. And what can you get at 201? Will Levis?
Right. Will Levis and Brock Purdy are the same to me.
Yeah. And
I have Stafford, who I'm going to try to move. I have Jordan Love, who knows, but like having those three is like, all right, well, I'll move Stafford, but I'll still have two younger quarterbacks. So if I want to start building out, like, they're not good enough to keep me out of the top five next year.
No.
You know, I get Brock Bowers, I get Caleb Williams, I get one of those pieces, and we start to look to turn it around.
Yeah,
I agree. So we had Hyatt to the Giants. What do you guys think? The burner of the class with his 5G, 26 mile an hour COVID vaccine.
His dad looks like Johnny Sins, by the way. Just a slight off kilter. I don't know, man. What's Danny Dimes' deep ball look like?
Eh.
Well, yeah. I like the pick just because, I mean, the Giants have to do something with their wide receivers. I mean,
I trust Daboll more than I trust
Levan Blah at the position.
Yeah, I trust Daboll to bring the most out of him. Like, he made Gabe Davis look good and Cole Beasley look relevant. So, like, I see there's a world where he gets faded because of that situation, and I still take it.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm kind of all about the Giants skill position players. Saquon, Waller, Bellinger, Wandale. You got Downs. You got Hodgins. Or not Downs, sorry. You have Hyatt and you have Hodgins. They're not superstars, but I think all of those players are above replacement level.
Oh, 100%.
And Hodgins kind of came out last year, was a really good receiver by the end of the year. He was someone you and me were playing in DFS a lot.
Constantly.
He was getting them targets.
I ended the season in gambling like on a major heater, and a lot of that was recognizing Isaiah Hodgins. Like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right, yeah, Minnesota's defense really, really made him look great.
What do you think about Tillman? I know you and I could not give a shit about him.
Why would you get Donovan Peoples-Jones when you already have Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Unless they're just going to let him walk, right? Because, like, what's that offensive? It's Amari Cooper,
Elijah Moore, Donovan Peoples-Jones. So now you've got Cedric Tillman.
David Bell, who's probably getting cut, right?
David Bell, who was a third-round pick last year.
Yeah, who didn't do anything.
Right, and then you've got Njoku, and then Hunter Long. Right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't want it. If someone wants to trade up because he's a bigger body receiver, I think it kind of sucks.
Yeah. I don't want Tillman. I'm good. If he's 301, 302, maybe we're having that conversation, but I'm not reaching for him. Tucker Kraft to Green Bay, two tight ends, boys, two tight ends for Jordan Love. What do you think? Does Jordan Love tight ends? Huh?
Yeah. Like we were saying earlier, they're just Green Bay's trying to pad the fact that they know Love's going to come in with just some mentorship experience. What he has only completed something like 80 passes
in the 3 years
right. that he's been there. They're trying to bring in guys where he can just check down the whole game and
give him confidence.
You know what offense they're going to run, right? Like the Bears last year before they let Fields run, because that was, you know, obviously like Luke Getsy was from the Packers offensive system, and you're going to see a lot of two tight ends. You're going to see a lot of two backs. You're going to see a lot of power zone run concepts to the outside. So I think You see a lot of tight ends in the red zone, and I think you see a lot more AJ Dillon this year. I'm gonna be real with you.
Bowling ball it in, dude.
Yeah, he's coming back.
I think this year AJ Dillon does what we thought AJ Dillon was gonna do last year.
Yeah, I know. I was all over him last year, and he just shit the bed. That was shit.
Yeah, we all got burned by him.
I'd rather be a year early than a year late.
True.
So actually a spot that I like a lot, Josh Downs at pick 79 to Indy.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Adding to that offense, yeah.
It's loading up. I mean, what do they do with Pittman, right? Ryan and I are talking about this. He's in a contract year this year.
Right? Yeah, he should be negotiating at the end of this year, right?
Yeah, 2020 is when he was drafted. So it's like they got your big body receiver, you got your slot guy, you got your boundary guy with Pierce, you got your running back. Like, it's another offense where they're loading up to just give their talent. It's not an AJB kind of thing with Hurts, but it's like they're providing an environment where he can succeed. And I think Josh Downs is one of the best slot receivers in this class. I'm not a big Downs guy, but I know their production, and he can be schemed very well.
That's another offense that's got a lot of talent on the outside. Got Alec Pierce, Pittman, Downs in the slot. You've got Jelani Woods and Jonathan Taylor. Yeah,
Thomas.
Him too. Yeah. Jonathan, JTT. It's going to be a real fucking jungle to jungle out there this year in Indy. Was that JTT?
No. So. No, JTT was the movie with Chevy Chase, which we should watch for next week.
No.
What was it? It was the
Man of the, was it Man of the House?
Yeah, Man of the House, where they go camping or something.
Shit sucked. There's a lot of cultural appropriation in that one too, I think, right?
Is there? I don't really remember it.
You know, doesn't he like Taylor Thomas is 5'5". That sucks.
Well, that's
why he's not, you know, really acting anymore. He's a director/producer.
That's funny you should mention him being 5'5", because the next two picks are Tajay Spears to Tennessee and Devin Achane to Miami. Two short kings. What do we think?
I like Achane to Miami.
That was his best landing spot. And he was like pretty much going there because didn't they have like five meetings with him?
Something crazy like that.
He's gonna be the breaker, man. He's gonna be the test the process of is a small guy really gonna be successful in NFL? Because he can do it. I mean, we saw him do it in college, runs right up the gut, no fear.
Do you take Achane over Spears in Dynasty?
Where did Spears land again?
Probably not.
Tennessee. He's in Tennessee.
Probably not, because someone's going to have to take over the reins for King Henry eventually.
I had Achane rated high above him, but like they're kind of a coin flip to me where like I didn't really see like the Tajay Spears hype where I was like, yeah, he's got like drunken master style of like you don't know what the fuck he's doing on every play, but I don't know, man. Those are guys where I'm like, I'll be wrong, right? Where I'm like, I'm not a good running back scout. So determining, especially on a variable like Devin Achane or Devon Achane's size is really difficult for me to comprehend of who do I want. Like, what would you do, Tony?
I like Spears. And I'll tell you why, because I actually think these two should be moved up in conversations for rookie drafts because I think these two hit like great landing spots. And they both have talent, right? Like
yeah.
Achane ran inside a lot. He's not a bad player. I just you're gonna run, you know, Devon Achane up the middle against like Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to die. He will die a death. And I would probably take Spears because I think there's a chance that they took Haskins last year, right, from Michigan? Yeah. And they took him, and he got, like, no run. And if they're reaching again for a running back this early, that says to me they saw something that means that he could be the guy that replaces Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that. True. I like that logic. It definitely feels like a safer pick compared to Achane.
Yes, and he's I got to tell you, Tajay Spears screams taxi squad for me.
Oh, yeah.
Let him bake in the oven. Give him a year. Yeah. See what happens. There's a chance that Tennessee's offense is Will Levis and Tajay Spears in 2 years with Treylon Burks getting his huge contract extension because it turns out he's the shit.
And Chig.
Right. Chig Okonkwo, baby.
Yeah.
We did talk a little Tank Bigsby. I'm whatever. I don't care. You can have him. And we're actually going to end here pretty much right as the third round ends. So we'll be wrapping up day two as day two ends. We have Darnell Washington to Pittsburgh. We just said he's another left tackle, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Shows that they value bad knees more than they do a bad brain.
That's or bad sex drive. What about does Washington, is he someone you draft? Do you just not give a shit? What's up?
I don't care. I you can check the receipts when we talked about Washington in the get-go. I get his athleticism. I get that he's a powerhouse. I get he's a good blocker. But I watched his tape, and I only watched it for one guy. Brock Bowers.
Yeah, so true. So good.
Is he gonna have a receiving threat? Yeah, but I think he's got like a Jelani Woods type of cool. He's big, but like really, what does he do? Tight end 28 on the year? I don't give a shit.
I think that's a very good comparison, Jelani Woods. That's a very good comparison.
And then we have one last guy. Well, San Francisco just took a kicker, y'all, in the fourth round.
What the hell? You know what that means? You know what that means?
Yeah, Robbie Gould
coming back to Chicago.
Didn't you already hear? He already said, I would absolutely come back to Chicago if they asked.
Yeah, dude, he was at like the Cubs game the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, all his family lives here.
We do have.
He should have never left in the first place, but.
We have, lastly, unless San Francisco or Vegas or San Francisco pick somebody, which. They very well could. We have our last player to talk about, Michael Wilson, going to the Cardinals.
That was a white guy, right?
I did not see any of his tape, so I can't even answer that question for you, man.
Wasn't that the guy in Family Ties?
Michael J. Fox.
So I'm looking at Brugler's Beast. They have him as receiver 17. Says overall, Wilson has an uneven career production because of his injury history. But the more tape you watch, the more you appreciate his package of size, intelligence, and competitive athleticism to challenge coverage. As long as he stays healthy, his skills on offense and special teams will keep him on an NFL roster. They projected a fourth round pick, so that's right about what you would expect. He's 6'1". He ran a 4.58 40-yard dash. Ugh. He's not a burner. He seems like he's a big catch guy.
I think Arizona's just kind of like filling in the bubbles on their Scantron before they leave to go smoke weed in the back, right? Like,
yeah, right. This wide receiver ran a 5.48?
4.58.
Oh, okay. I was like, why is this guy even in the draft?
Or I think this is like the problem with like us in Dynasty, right? Where I have like 9 third round picks where I'm like, I'm just making dart throws. Where like, I think that's what they're just doing at this point of like, we got all these picks. We're going to be shit next year. Let's just see what we have.
All right. I have a nice, fun, positive and a negative for you here from Brugler's Beast. He is built for success in contested catch situations. That's a strength. And then a weakness is logged more drops at 12 than touchdown catches 11 in his college career.
Well, I mean, both of those aren't really sticky stats, right? Like, both can be taught. Both can be regressed upon, positive or negative.
He was injured a lot. He suffered a Jones fracture in his foot in December 2020 had season-ending surgery, and then suffered the same injury 2 days after he was cleared in the summer of 2021.
Wow.
So he missed 11 months, and then in October, he suffered a season-ending injury as well. So,
you know what sucks is I feel like this is the most that anybody will talk about this guy's career. It's our podcast for this filler break while Las Vegas takes their pick.
Yeah, it's not good. I wonder, could AT Perry be a Las Vegas pick here?
I don't think so. I think they have enough, right? They have Devontae. They have Renfro. They got
I think Mayer. They're going defense.
They got Jacobs. They get a running back here.
I think you need that other guy that does the Matt Collins thing of be like a big body guy that does a lot of cardio and just runs go routes constantly.
That's true.
I could see like a Kayshon Boutte.
Oh, Boutte would be the most Raiders pick ever.
He would be. I could see like Dontavian Wicks. I could just see the Raiders going receiver. It just seems like something I could see him do. But also DeJuan Jones from Ohio State still out there. Oof. I saw him as like a second round guy.
Abanaconda still out there too.
Yep. Luke Whippler still out there from Ohio State, the center. I love that. Adiba Ware, the guy I wanted the Bears to get at round two because I know a lot about football, is still there at the end of round three. There's still a lot of good stuff on the board, y'all. We still have a lot of running backs that haven't seen their time yet. Roshan Johnson is still out there. Sean Tucker, Zach Evans, Izzy Abanaconda. I think we're all giving up on any belief that Sean Tucker is going to get drafted.
Wow. Did you see they got? They took a wide out.
I'm getting it right now. So it's three, pick 100.
Another small guy.
Trey fast Tucker.
Fast guy, but small.
He's a guy that the Bears met with. He's a burner. We'll have to watch some Trey Tucker and get some feedback here. But like, I don't know, man. 5'8". That's a little guy.
Yeah, it's a very short career.
As a kick returner and a gadget guy, it looks like he's doing great. But we'll see how that translates. I'll still watch it. You know, we'll have takes on Trey Tucker.
Maybe they just use him as special teams for the first year, you know?
Yeah. So I think unless we want to, we can wait out the San Francisco pick, just talk about what we're going to do next week and talk about the draft guide. Hopefully by the end of next week, it'll be ready to go. The plan is to just have like, I was thinking we could have like a little thing about each player, our own personal takes, and then where we'd put them, and we'll have a big board included in it, and that'll be something that we'll update throughout the off season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Pretty excited. I want Ryan to have little blurbs like you'd see in your history textbook of like, did you know, but just about like random tight ends at any given moment.
Here's a random tight end that just went to Frisco.
Oh, okay. Oh, Cameron Latu. Okay. So that's a blocker.
Yeah. He sucked.
Yeah, that's another just guy that's there to do nothing.
When Alabama had nobody but Gibbs, and they still wouldn't throw it a lot to us, like, all right, it's over. Wrap it up.
He is going to be a Ryan touchdown tight end because he's going to do the Ross Dwelly shit.
Yeah, I'll play him in DFS 1 week. I'll call him for a touchdown.
Yeah, they play Seattle twice a year, man.
There we go.
There's always a chance. There's always a chance they manage to tackle Christian McCaffrey at the one.
Oh, who's the Vikings going to take?
Well, I thought the round ended at 101, but I apparently don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It's a comp pick.
They should
get a running back here.
That would be fun.
Because Madison ain't shit. Cook might walk. He wants too much money.
Give me Zach Evans right here.
Bengals haven't taken a running back either.
No, they're going to let her out. They're not going to believe those wild accusations and arrests.
Has Tampa taken a running back? You saw
no,
that.
Sir. No, Giovanni, sir.
Giovanni retired today.
Yep. No, sir. Told you. Been telling you. Rashad White. Robert Smith's announcing the Vikings pick. That dude fucking killed the Bears in the 90s. That dude just yeah. wrecked our shit. God, he was the worst. I hated him so much. All right, we got our last pick.
Yeah, the Bucks went fat boys. They went
as they should have.
Tackle, defensive end.
It's beautiful. It's perfect. It's the perfect draft. All right, Minnesota, what do you got for us? Take us home.
Another wide receiver. Come on. Fuck a defense.
It's a defense.
All right. Then I guess that's a perfect place to call it for a night. Then we'll be back next week. We're actually going to do our WrestleMania Battle Royal review.
Yep.
We're going to do our number 80s, and we're going to have final draft reactions and hopefully a preview of the draft guide.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for our Draft-tacular.
Yeah, I can't wait for all of this to be irrelevant by the time you hear it.
You know what? We can plant our flag today and be like, hey, I said that shit back then, right?
Yeah, I think we've all planted some flags here today.
I'm going sicko mode all off season, baby.
Ryan's going Peyton Hendershot, man.
Yeah, I think he's going to emerge as the Dallas number one this year.
Shout out to Hunter and Whataburger and Texas. All right, well, until next week, everybody, we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Take care.
Good night. Be awesome.